Welcome to the Houston Strength Podcast. Let's uncover your strength.
What's going on, guys? This is Jordan, and thank you for tuning in to the Houston Strength Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about how to hack your big three. So your squat, your bench, your deadlift. I think everybody that goes into the gym at some point in time should be doing a variation of these three. And just going to talk about how to approach ultimately improving your barbell squat, barbell bench press, and barbell deadlift. So we're going to start out with the squat, the king of exercises. This squat is a compound movement, so this means it's a multi-joint movement. With the squat, the hip, the knee, and the ankle all are going to have some movement, and different muscle groups are going to be involved. It's a quad dominant movement at the heart, but the glutes, the hamstrings, your core, your back, pretty much your whole body is going to have to brace to do a barbell squat heavy effectively. So when we're approaching the progressions and regressions of the squat, we always want to make sure that we can perform an unloaded air squat with our body weight before we start throwing a bar on our back. And then once we can perform an air squat, we'll move on to a goblet squat, is the progression I like to use, into a barbell squat, and then we can advance the barbell squat by adding bands, pauses, etc. There's two main bar positions that people will do when barbell squatting: low bar and high bar. And a lot of it comes down to how you're built. If you've got a longer torso, or if you've got limited shoulder external rotation, you should really just play around with both, see what feels most natural. The bar path of the squat should be aligned straight up and down vertically from the floor. So when you're going down, the bar should not come forward. And this is where you'll hear people cue that the knees shouldn't come over the toes. It's okay to an extent for the knee to come over the toe, but if you have a straight bar path, it shouldn't too much. And that's going to mean you're using your hips, not just bending the knees to go down, which is going to put a lot of strain on the back. The stance when we're barbell squatting, I think, should be where you're most comfortable hitting depth. A cool trick I learned early on was to start by doing a depth drop. So just standing on something 18 inches or so high and dropping off, and just see where your feet naturally land. And most of the time, your natural squat stance, where you'll be most powerful and is safest for your anatomy, is going to be where you fall, or within, you know, an inch or so of that. So play around with different stances. I think it's good to visit different stances in your training as well. Now, a big point with the squats that people are debating about all the time is depth. So when you're doing a strength sport, most of the time your hip crease needs to get below the knee at the bottom of the squat. Now, when we're training for performance, or if we're working with a general population, we need to work within ranges that will improve their performance or their health. And even more importantly than that, not put themselves in a position to be injured in the gym when it's avoidable by choking the range of motion. So there's no reason that everybody needs to go all the way down to the floor with every squat. Not saying you shouldn't if you can, and if your sport requires it, definitely train it. But not everybody needs to hit the same depth universally. There's definitely special populations, both in high performance training and with working around injuries, where a little bit higher on the depth is fine. We're going to go into the bench press now. So the bench press, again, it's a compound movement, multi-joint movement. The wrist, the elbow, the shoulder all are involved here. The primary mover of the movement is going to be the pecs, but the front delts, so the front side of your shoulder, and your triceps are also involved in the bench press. Again, compound movement there. the progression regression model I like to follow for the bench press or a horizontal press is to start with an elevated push-up, whether that's off a box, the wall, or a bar on a rack is what I like to do, and then slowly work it down to a push-up off the floor. From there, we can progress to a medicine ball or dumbbell bench press into a barbell bench press. Finally, we'll visit bench press with bands or with pauses. We'll mix in specialty bars as well. The bar path when we're doing a bench press again should be a straight line. So this is where knowing where to hit the bar is very important. When you're at the bottom of the bench press, your forearm should be vertical. So if you hit too high, most of the time, the forearm is going to bend back and involve the tricep more than it should at the bottom. So you want to make sure you find your bar path. It's fine to pinch the shoulders together, and you should to maintain tension, but make sure it's a straight line up and down from where it hits, which should be below the midline of the chest, straight up to lockout at full extension. Now, as far as grip goes with bench press, it should again be what feels most comfortable. The more narrow you go on a bench press, it's more tricep. When we go wider, it's going to involve the chest and the shoulders more. If we go really wide, it's a pretty rough movement on the shoulder. So if you have any shoulder issues, I wouldn't recommend doing real wide grip bench press. I think there's other ways to hit those muscle groups and provide that adaptation. When we're doing a bench press, we're bringing the bar down to the chest and we're pressing it. We want to get used to adding a pause at the bottom as well, maintaining control in the most vulnerable position. So the same as it is in the squat, it's the bottom of the squat. In the bench press, it's the bottom of the bench press. So try those tips and think about that when you're programming your bench press in the future. And now we'll move on to deadlift. So the deadlift, one of my favorite lifts, again, is a compound movement. It's a hip dominant movement. It really works the whole body, but glutes, hamstrings, and your back are going to be the primary movers. The progression regression model I like to follow for the deadlift is to start with an unloaded hinge. So just making sure somebody can move their hips backward without bending the knee too much. You don't want to have too much knee flexion as somebody hinges their hips back. Once they master that, I like to do a kettlebell deadlift, usually a sumo deadlift, and I'll progress that into a kettlebell swing. And then ultimately from there, we'll progress to the hex bar deadlift into a straight bar deadlift. And then we can start adding bands on it and eccentrics, pauses, make it tougher through tempo. There's another big argument with barbell lifts that the deadlift is involved with, and that's the conventional versus sumo. I personally think both are great, and I think for most people, a sumo deadlift, if we're talking about a straight barbell deadlift, is probably the safer option. I favor the hex bar for deadlifts. We primarily will do hex bar deadlifts unless we're training for a strength sport that requires a barbell deadlift. But a sumo deadlift is definitely safer on the spine and allows people to work up to a pretty heavy weight pretty quickly. But again, majority of my clients are not even touching a straight bar deadlift unless their sport requires it. The stance for your conventional, you're gonna be about hip width. I think it's important to make sure the toes are pointed pretty much straight ahead. Your hips can hinge more efficiently when the toes are pointing forward. I'll see a lot of people that'll go kind of pigeon footed. They're pointing the toes out to the side at a good width, but the hip starts externally rotating and then they will start squatting into their deadlift more so than hinging. So master the hinge and then load it up. I think this is a great test of strength. When you're locking it out, you want to make sure you have a convincing lockout of the hips by making sure you squeeze your glutes at the top. So lockout is where I see a lot of issues with deadlifts, even with some impressive weight, some advanced lifters. When you lock out, you don't want to lean back. You're just looking for a straight line from your ankle to your shoulder. And you also don't want to shrug it at the top in most cases. When you're doing a deadlift, it should be about the hip extension. So when you're locking out that deadlift, don't try to shrug it up to the ceiling. Just try to pull your hips as close to the bar as you can, and that's your lockout. If you like what you heard, please try to implement some of that into your own training. If you'd like to try a free week of my programming, visit our website, HoustonStrength.com, and click on the Train Heroic logo. And that is all for this week, and we will catch you soon. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to catch the next episode of the Houston Strength Podcast and uncover your strength.